Hey, Roros, do you ever call up Royally Obsessed on Alexa?
It's one of the easiest ways to listen to the pod. You can hear our latest episode every week there, thanks to Amazon Music, which has a full catalog of podcasts, including Royally Obsessed.
All you have to do is say, Alexa, play Royally Obsessed on Amazon Music. Oh no, mine is listening to me say that right at this moment.
A royal reminder, new episodes drop every Thursday. Tune in on Amazon Music. Now, on to the show.
Hear ye, hear ye. Please rise for their majesties of Royally Obsessed, the podcast for all things royals.
Stand by! Three cheers for Her Majesty the Queen!
Hi, and welcome back to Royally Obsessed. I'm Caitlin Menza.
And I'm Lisa Ryan.
And it's time for your weekly update on the royal news you need to know. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Royally Obsessed Podcast, where you can see our rosy-cheeked faces after we record every episode and have had a cocktail. And join our Facebook group, Royally Obsessed. Subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already, which seems crazy, and leave us the royal rating of a 5-star review. You can also email us at info@gallerypodcast.com. This week, we are chatting about Royal Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Happy Valentine's Day, first of all.
Happy Valentine's Day.
To all of our lovely listeners. And then we're also talking about royal divorce, unfortunately.
Like, on another note.
Yeah, on another note. But then we also have Beatrice's wedding details. So it's a roller coaster of love.
Yeah, a lot of stuff happening.
Yeah, and then we have upcoming tours, that upcoming wedding details, some Harry and Meghan stuff, some William and Kate stuff. It's
packed.
We have a cocktail.
And now it's time for the weekly royal cocktail.
This was Lisa's idea, and I will shake my fist at her for doing this to me, but it's a Cosmo.
Oh, yeah.
It's essentially a Cosmo. It's a cranberry juice cocktail and vodka, though I guess we're missing triple sec.
I was thinking it's a vodka cran, but when you called it a Cosmo,
it's fancier.
Now I feel like I'm in Sex and the City.
Exactly. We just thought
Samantha.
A pink drink would be nice for Valentine's Day.
Yes. And I think because we have high-end cranberry juice, because there is nothing low-end near where we record.
That's true.
It tastes all right.
It tastes delicious. Also, we had so little Tito's vodka that it's just a splash of vodka. So really, we're both just having cranberry juice.
It's very refreshing.
Very refreshing. So much vitamin C. Proud of us.
We're really healthy.
Mm-hmm. And then we have a listener email from Jacqueline. Subject line, 3 degrees separation from Meghan. Would you like to take this one?
Sure. Hello, Lady Lisa and Countess Caitlin. Love, love, love your podcast. Thank you for giving me a safe space to geek out on my obsession over the British royals. I'm the granddaughter of a British war bride.
Ooh.
My grandmother was born in London and really has the most fascinating life story. From working as a telephone operator during the war to marrying a sailor from Canada, heyo, and making the trip across the Atlantic by boat. So because of this, I have lots of family in the UK. I just found out the other day that one of my cousins works at a flower shop in London that supplied the flowers to Meghan and Doria's hotel rooms before the wedding.
Oh, I love that.
That's so nice. She writes, this brought me so much joy and I knew you would get my excitement.
I sure do. Yes. I think you have to go hang out with that cousin.
Yes.
Also, I would love to know what exactly the flowers looked like.
Yeah, what flowers?
Yeah, I love flowers. I have no skills in flowers. I don't know the names of flowers per se, but I do love them, obviously. And it is Valentine's Day. So
my flower taste is really basic. I like hydrangeas.
Yeah, of course, sure.
And peonies.
Sure, they're lovely flowers.
How unique of me.
I know. I thought I was really fancy because I love ranunculus. And then I mentioned it to a friend who's a florist, and she's like, ranunculus is actually the very most common flower in the United States after rose.
Really?
In bouquets, yeah.
Oh.
So there you go. Basic, whatever. Flowers are lovely. Thank you so much for writing in, Jacqueline. And then we have This Week in Royal History.
And now, This Week in Royal History.
We have a focus on Valentine's Day because, of course, we love love.
Yes, we love love.
Mm-hmm.
It is the thing we love more than anything else.
Well, puppies.
Well, yeah. We love love and we love loving puppies.
That's true. They're related. Do you want to start us off? We are touching on some royals outside the Brits for this one.
Yes. So from a Hello article from last year, they said that two royal couples have like some very special Valentine's Day anniversaries. So first, the Grand Duke and Grand Duchess of Luxembourg got married on the 14th of February in 1981. And they've been married now for 19 years. Their names are Henry and Maria, and they have 5 children and 4 grandchildren. And according to Royal Central, they weren't aware that they were getting married on Valentine's Day because it's not a popular holiday in Luxembourg.
That's so funny. See, that's the thing. I always wonder, like, how Valentine's Day is celebrated all around the world. I would love to hear that from any listeners. Because I was in London. The first time I ever went to London, I happened to be there over Valentine's Day. And I was there alone and felt very sad about it because I was there for a work trip. And I was like, well, it can't be that big of a deal because I bet nobody even celebrates here in the UK. What an idiot. No, everybody was celebrating.
You saw lots of love.
Lots of love. Every restaurant had like hearts in the windows. I couldn't find a place to eat. I went like to some noodle shop. It was very tragic. Meanwhile, the Crown Princess Victoria of Sweden is rumored to have gotten engaged on Valentine's Day because she and Prince Daniel announced their engagement on February 24th, 2009. So people thought that maybe they had gotten engaged a couple of days before or a week before on Valentine's Day. And in a previous interview about their relationship, Victoria had said, "With Daniel by my side, I feel safe. You have surely seen in recent years, I have grown stronger and happier. And now we can begin preparations to start our own lives and start a family." So lovely. So see, the royals, they love February 14th as well. So very cute.
We love love in all its forms.
Yeah. And we hope that however you guys are celebrating this week, you get some candy, you feel cozy and loved. And if you're single right now, you feel even more loved by friends and family and puppies. Again, puppies.
Just find a puppy.
Find a puppy. And we love you. So thank you for listening. And we hope you're enjoying your celebrations this week. Let's see. Shall we get into William and Kate?
Yes. So there have been a lot of announcements or rumored announcements about William and Kate this week. It's been reported. So, of course, we're recording on Tuesday, so there may be more news by Thursday when this comes out. But it's reported that they are going to travel to Australia to visit towns ravaged by the brush fires.
Yes. So, of course, we've seen them visit Australia in the past with Prince George, one of my all-time favorite royal tours. Him throwing the stuffed animal at the zoo in Sydney is just warms my heart forever and ever. So yes, there's discussions, but at this point it hasn't been confirmed that they will be traveling to see some of the areas that have been ravaged by the fires. You know, of course, they've been sending their condolences over the last month or so. And so we'll see. I think that would be really amazing. It's obviously quite a trek from the UK. So this would be a big deal if and when they go. But we do have an absolute confirmation that they're taking an official visit to Ireland, less of a trip, but more pomp and circumstance because it's actually confirmed at this point. Mm-hmm. So let's see. What do we know about it so far? It'll happen the first week of March, which is like approaching perfect because of St. Patrick's Day.
Tuesday the 3rd through Thursday the 5th. So okay. Right when we start recording.
Oh, perfect. Exactly.
So we have a little bit of it in that week.
So very excited about that. Yay. I love a royal tour, like a little surprise one. It's been so long since it feels so long. I guess we had them in October in Pakistan, but
we were rich with tours last year.
We were rich with tours. And now, of course, we don't get as many tours from this generation of British royals. So we're very excited to take what we can get. And then on the heels of all that news, we had just an adorable joint event today with William and Kate and Prince Charles and Camilla. All four of them together visited and toured the Defense Medical Rehabilitation Center. And, you know, it's so rare that you see all four of them do an event together. And it just made me think that I wish we saw more of this. So they saw some of the therapy areas. They met patients. They took a look around the prosthetics workshop. They talked about the services on the site. And of course, you might have seen imagery on Kensington Royal Instagram of William was playing basketball in a wheelchair with some of the other patients there. And they have an outpatient center. It's really a special place. And since it was such a military event, I feel like we got to see Kate Middleton in a little military-inspired coat.
Yes. And then somebody noted that she wore her Alexander McQueen military-esque outfit mm-hmm. on the anniversary of his death.
Yes. So it was 10 years ago today. Again, we're recording on Tuesday since the tragic death of Alexander McQueen. And of course, Kate's had such a relationship with the house. Mm-hmm. Obviously, she wore McQueen for her wedding. Then it was Sarah Burton for the house. And so she has a special relationship with them. And I just felt like it was one of those really subtle, lovely little moments that shows that she's thinking constantly about her relationships with these brands and what her clothes have to say. And mm-hmm. on top of all of that, again, it was military inspired while she was meeting with service men and women. And so it was perfect, mm-hmm. perfect appearance. And it was just so nice to see them all together. Obviously, some of the spin immediately from some outlets was that like, here's the four of them, like, showing that all things are well. And I, you know, I know it's going to, we're going to keep seeing that kind of stuff for a couple of months to come, that everything that William and Kate do or that Charles and Camilla do is like a reflection of the Sussexes leaving. But like, this is their job and they'd be doing this stuff anyway. But yes, it was good to see them all together and being happy and kidding around. And there were photos of like Charles, like rubbing the shoulders of William while he was in the wheelchair, just like tender and, I don't know, family stuff.
Yeah, nice family moments. And then, so speaking of the Sussexes, we obviously haven't really had much news of them lately because they have been living in Canada and out of the public eye, except this week there were a ton of reports. So first we're going to start with one that is kind of more of a minor report. Reportedly, they were approached to present Best Picture at the Oscars over the weekend, and while a source said that they were honored by the request, they declined the invitation. And this is just a really great excuse for us to bring up the fact that Olivia Colman was at the Oscars. Obviously, this was not a very royal-heavy Oscars. Mm-hmm. It was lovely Oscars.
It was lovely Oscars. We're very excited about Parasite.
We love Parasite.
Love Parasite. Really scary. I rewatched it again this week. But I feel like last year was such a big royals-themed movie year with The Favorite and Mary, Queen of Scots and everything. But not so much this year. But still, we got to see Olivia Colman like looking cool.
Charming as ever.
Charming as ever. And
innuendos.
Yeah.
In her,
yes, definitely.
What she said.
But I feel like, you know, we can't. You know, it's a report that Harry and Meghan were asked to present the Best Picture. And like, I could certainly see a world in which they were asked and would have turned. I just think like it's probably the right move. I don't know.
I think
to Hollywood-ish stuff, I think, would have been judged pretty harshly.
Yeah, that's like whenever I hear about something that they do or they don't do, I always think in terms of, oh, God, how are people going to react, or how are they going to like spin it, or what's their take going to be?
Yeah.
And it would have just been like, here they are being Hollywood. It would have been very, very negative.
Yeah. And then, like, what? They go to, like, the Vanity Fair Oscar party. I mean, again, it's the dream of my life to go to the Vanity Fair Oscar party.
I know.
Just, I'm going to put that into the universe.
Vanity Fair will go.
Yeah.
We're available always.
Yeah. I want to just manifest that destiny of mine. But I can't really see it. Would I have loved to see it? Sure. Would I have loved to see like what Meghan would wear to that kind of red carpet and stuff like that? Sure.
Or even Hollywood embracing her.
Yeah. Like I would
really
have
liked that.
Sure. I would have loved that. But like, I do think it was kind of the right move. What we did get instead was the report that the two of them were in South Beach speaking at a JP Morgan event. So I'm just going to say, if you follow me on Twitter, I tweeted something about this. Once it was confirmed by people that they did this. And my reaction was mega barf. So if I may elaborate on mega barf.
Yes, please, Caitlin.
I am a professional writer saying mega barf, but I think I was disappointed that this was the first move or one of the first moves. Like, I don't know what kind of meetings they're having right now, but the fact that they would choose, and of course, the report is that Harry was the one who gave the speech and that Meghan introduced him. It sounds like he gave a really lovely speech about therapy, the importance of therapy, and how he has been in therapy. But I don't love the venue that he was speaking at, a JP Morgan event. I mean, I do know that this is the way to make serious bank. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's something that they need or are looking to do right out the gate is get a paycheck. But I just didn't love that it was in a speech to a bank in like South Beach, you know, like a big banker party. I mean, again, it's definitely something that is done. It's something that like the Clintons have done. It's something that a lot of like ex-presidents do because, again, they're speakers
circuit.
And they know how to give beautiful speeches and reach a lot of people. And they know, they know what they're doing. And it's a big paycheck for not that much work. But I just, if this had happened in maybe a year, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not surprised at all, but I guess I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed.
But then to play devil's advocate, I was reading Lainey, as I do every day, as everyone knows I do every day. And I thought that she raised a really interesting point. So, of course, there are reports that they maybe got $500,000 to $1 million for this event. We don't know. That number has not been confirmed by anybody, so it's just a lot of estimates. But so not only would it have been a paycheck, which we don't know. I mean, nobody knows like what's liquid or what's not if they're trying to be financially independent. So that's a whole different thing. But Lainey noted that they are trying to get their Sussex Royal Foundation off the ground. And this wasn't like a summit for JP Morgan employees, really. It wasn't like, you know, a conference for like every accountant or something like that. Mm-hmm. It was actually their big wealth conference where they have a lot of big names big name wealthy people. So like some of the richest people in the world. And we know that last year the speakers were J-Lo and A-Rod. And we know that Gayle King was there, and reportedly Gayle King introduced Meghan, who introduced Harry. But what Lainey pointed out was that if they're trying to get the Sussex Royal Foundation off the ground, they need money. You need people to invest in the foundation or donate to the foundation. And so this would be the perfect place to kind of not only, A, if you needed some money, get a paycheck, a really solid paycheck for a speech you gave. I mean, bigger than any paycheck I've ever had. But B, a really solid place to set the groundwork for your foundation, because you need the donations. That's how it works. It's not not like a business. It's a nonprofit. Yeah. So
they need to network with rich people.
So basically it's like the most expensive, fanciest networking opportunity.
Yeah.
And also, if they are trying to go on the speaker circuit, this is also a place where if they gave a great speech, which I'm confident they did, because this is what Harry knows how to do. I mean, in addition to many things, but like he's a fantastic speaker. And we know that because we saw that speech recently. That was incredible. But like, if they want to do more of this, this is also a place to kind of go and be like, here's what I can do.
Yeah. I guess I'm just, it reminds me, like, I'm really excited to see what the spring brings us and how they do come out swinging. And it makes me, I mean, I've had a lot of friends, and I'm sure as royal obsessees, all of you listening, you've maybe had friends who don't know as much about the royals be like, what do you think they're going to do? Like, speculate. What are Harry and Meghan going to do? Like, what's their first step? And I don't know what their first step is going to be, but it made me realize what I want their first step to be, or what I hope it looks like. And I kind of just hope that they lie low for a while, and then maybe they come out in March or April or even May, and they're like, here's our plan, here's our foundation, here's our first causes, here's how we're going to support them. They don't need to answer to me, but that's just sort of how I would like to see. I'm excited to hear what their causes are. I'm excited to see what they do with this time. And so if they need to like fill the coffers and get some funds to do it, I guess that's fine. It rubbed me the wrong way.
I think a lot of people were surprised.
Yeah.
Like, cause we haven't heard anything for a little bit. It was a little bit like, wait, what's happening? But I think when Lainey put it into that context, it makes sense. But I also think that people are not necessarily the most enthused. It was a funny day on Twitter.
Sure was.
Lots of capitalism jokes.
Yeah, exactly. Like, welcome to the working world. I will say this. We got an announcement or a report that Prince Harry and Meghan Markle will return to the UK for Commonwealth Day at Westminster Abbey, which is March 9th. So there'll be services that day for Commonwealth Day. So apparently maybe we'll get an appearance. And so, of course, that'll be the same week as the tour to Ireland. So like, basically, thank you, British royal family, for giving me some happy things to look forward to in early March, because it's been real slow and I need things to look forward to.
Yeah. So
like jaunty little St. Patrick's Day pins.
I'm excited to see them, although I'm already dreading all of the tabloid reports that will come from it. It will be a lot of dramatic, hyperbolic, sexist stuff.
Yeah. Or like, let's read their body language, or like, who's joking with whom.
And I do love body language experts, though, because I truly think that none of them know anything. I mean, maybe they do. Maybe I am just very ignorant about it. But I love it because they're like, look at how this one person stepped at, or looked 100%. At this one thing, or did this one thing. And it's just like, it's a picture, so they could have just quickly glanced one way. I love it because it's so, in my opinion, dumb. But I love it.
Very arbitrary. I mean, like, we know certain body language stuff. You're like, oh, those two people seem like they like each other. But when it's the things that are like, see the tension around William's upper lip? Like, you can tell he's seething with anger. And it's like, is he? Like,
yeah. Also, like, it could be maybe some sunlight was getting into their eyes. Yeah, and so they squinted, like, whatever. Look, that look of rage.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I love it, but I think it's dumb.
What if one of them's hungry? What if one of them's bored? Like, you know, who knows what's going on in their heads?
Oh, do you think we'll see Archie again?
That would be wonderful. I don't know, though, because I feel like we haven't gotten the kids at that kind of event. It's like it's a pretty like formal affair. I believe it's the one.
Is that when she had the pillbox
hat? Exactly. That's going to say the little pillbox hat. And it's in Westminster Abbey. So I feel like it's not a super like kid friendly situation. But I mean, obviously, I would love it, but we'll see. Speaking of, no, I have no segue. Peter Phillips is getting divorced.
Yes.
Sorry. I'm so sorry, Peter Phillips. So Peter Phillips is the first child, the eldest son of Princess Anne, which makes him the Queen's oldest grandchild. He announced his separation from his wife, Autumn Phillips, Peter Phillips has been in the news a little bit lately because he was in that milk ad in China.
So if you're like, who is Peter Phillips? Be like, oh, the milk one.
The guy making the milk commercial just a couple of weeks ago. Sort of awkward. His wife, Autumn, she's originally from Montreal. They met while working at a Formula One motor race, which is kind of amazing. And Autumn didn't know right away that he was a royal. She gave this lovely quote to Hello Magazine. Mom said, oh, Autumn, what have you gotten yourself into? Because they started dating and she didn't necessarily know what she was getting herself into. They got married at Windsor Castle in 2008. They have two children together, Savannah and Isla. And of course, you might recognize Savannah and Isla because Savannah is always the one playing with Prince George. Tripping the Color, not last year, but the year before, she was the one who was like covering his mouth. And they were the ones making little trumpets at Eugenie's wedding last year.
I feel like she's always showing him what's what. Like,
exactly.
Oh, you boy. I know better.
Yeah. She's always sort of like
reading body language.
Yeah, truly. Like bossing him around and stuff. But so those are the kids.
What really annoyed me was I read the original report, which was in The Sun. And the way that it was phrased to me was very upsetting because this was the first time we were hearing about the divorce, and it was like Peter Phillips' heartbreak, and it was all about how, essentially blaming the wife, mm-hmm. and essentially also said that maybe she was inspired by Harry and Meghan, and it was just really crazy. So I'm like, for this horrible thing that's happening, or something that just is kind of common nowadays, but a family is dealing with a difficult time, and you're blaming a woman again, as they've been doing repeatedly for like the last few years. You're blaming a woman, and then for absolutely no reason, you're also blaming Meghan and Harry.
Yeah, so I think the statement that came out just a little bit later, this was all playing out on the same day yesterday, but the statement that came out from the palace, they said, after informing Her Majesty the Queen and members of both families last year, Peter and Autumn jointly agreed to separate. They had reached the conclusion that this was the best course of action for their two children and ongoing friendship. Both families were naturally sad at the announcement, but fully supportive of Peter and Autumn and the joint decision to co-parent their children. Both Peter and Autumn will remain in Gloucestershire to bring up their two children, where they have been settled for a number of years. Peter and Autumn have requested privacy and compassion for their children while the family continues to adapt to these changes. So I think once again there's like a subtle note there to help everyone on the timeline here that they informed the Queen and their families last year, and they're only now sharing this with the public. So anything to say that they were inspired, that Autumn might have been inspired by Meghan and Harry is insane. I think the only reason people even made that connection is because she herself is Canadian.
Oh, and they were saying like she's gonna move back to Canada.
She's gonna move back to Canada. Like I seriously doubt that, because again, they have young children who are in school, and I would imagine they would like to stay, as they say in the statement, they'll be staying, where they've been living, of course. And so just like super annoying. Like I don't want to say this is bad enough, because like we were saying, divorce is common, it's tough, but it happens. Like you don't need to like drag in other unpleasant stuff on top of it. Like, honestly, in my own, I just wonder if anything, like they were sitting on this for a little bit and waiting to announce it when like Sussex stuff blew over, or I don't know. I don't know why the announcement came now, but whatever. It happens. Things happen.
It happens. And Caitlin, don't you have an anniversary coming up?
So right before we recorded, we were just discussing how a divorce announcement around Valentine's Day. My own parents divorced when I was seven, or separated when I was seven. And their court date to get divorced was on Valentine's Day, 1995. So it happens. Okay?
It happens, and kids will be okay.
It's not fine.
The funnest thing.
Yeah.
But
it was beyond the right move for my own parents, and it made them both happier people. And I think that I hope that Savannah and Isla will be fine. I hope that this is what's best for everybody involved. I saw a lot of coverage or tweets and things that were like, oh my God, the poor queen, she's been through so much in the last month. And I'm like, the queen has had way worse years.
Yeah.
And way worse times of her life. So kind of whatever, it's not fun to see a divorce play out in the press. And I do think it's kind of strange to think that Peter is sort of our generation, sort of the royals,
Yeah.
And so now his marriage is coming to an end. I don't know. It's a bummer, but things happen. it does kind of make me wonder then about the milk ad. Like, he needs to like make money, or I don't know what. Who knows why? Yeah, pay for a divorce. Who knows? But
I am just sick of people always.
It's extraordinary, like, how you can connect anything to Meghan Markle.
But also, yeah, that of course. But then also, just everything always has to be the woman's fault.
Yeah,
like sometimes things just don't work out. I don't think you can blame the end of a marriage solely on one person.
No,
it's. I don't know. I just.
It's so rude.
I'm just like, you guys, get it together.
Get it together. It's 2020. We're not blaming women for everything that happens. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just in general. On a happier note, I think we can also start to wrap up on this, is that after weeks and weeks of speculation about the dates, we finally have a date and a place for Beatrice's wedding. And of course, can I just say, on last week's episode, I think one of my lows, I was like, stop talking about Beatrice's wedding because we don't know when it is. We'll know in due time. And in a classic situation, we knew like 2 days after we recorded. That's how that always works. So we have a date, May 29th.
Yes. And it's going to be at St. James Palace. And there's going to be a private reception hosted by the Queen in the gardens of Buckingham Palace afterwards.
Which if you've ever seen any of the imagery of the gardens of Buckingham Palace, a lovely place to get married.
Truly.
You know? There was discussion that it would maybe be in Italy because her fiancé is Italian, and I would be okay with getting married in Italy as well. But no, they've chosen to do this. We're still not sure if it will be televised. We're looking at Town & Country's report, and they noted nobody knows if it will be televised. ITV had confirmed in the past that they will definitely not be broadcasting it live. And the BBC has said that it will feature news coverage of the wedding, but it will also not cover it live. So
my assumption would be, and this is just my assumption based on no facts, just based on my own self, mm-hmm. just for everyone's sake, I would assume it would not be televised given how unpopular her father is.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, really bad timing.
Yeah.
Also, at the end of the day, they're not super important royals.
Yes. But it has been reported that her father is going to walk her down the aisle.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. It's her father.
Yeah. But I'm sure we'll get tons of imagery of celebrities and other, you know, important people arriving. We'll get tons of dress photos. That's all I really care about. I care about dress photos and photos of happiness. I'm excited to see the tiara she might wear. I'm excited to see what dress she would wear. I really loved her sister Eugenie's dress and tiara with the big emerald. It was such a special and beautiful day. So I am looking forward to it. Of course, another royal wedding. Always here for that.
I am a little bit confused about her father in the sense that I thought he was stepping back from royal duties. But then, of course, we saw him at church with the Queen.
Yes.
And all those reports about him being her rock, gag. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, there's the coronavirus, and he apparently reportedly delivered a message of sympathy to the people of China.
Yeah, he attended
about the coronavirus.
Yeah, he attended a dinner hosted by China's ambassador to the UK. And so that diplomat tweeted about the meeting and included some photographs and said, Her Majesty the Queen sent an encouraging message to the Chinese people at the critical time of fighting coronavirus. I express my sincere sympathy for Chinese people and pray for the speedy control and victory over the virus.
It was conveyed by the Duke of York. So that's what confused me, not the message, because of course the Queen would have a message of sympathy. But so is he speaking on behalf of the Queen? Is he still being a active royal then? Because this to me would seem like he is.
It's literally a diplomatic move. It was hosted by the ambassador to the UK.
And like, do we forget so quickly what his interview was like?
Yeah, it's very deeply confusing. I mean, obviously we are thinking of people in China and around the world who are struggling with coronavirus, but like, what? It's confusing. Mm-hmm. It's confusing. Wait, are we going to have to end on Prince Andrew again? Maybe that's my automatic low.
That's your low?
Wait. Okay, before we adjourn the royal pod, highs and lows.
It's time for the royal highs and lows.
Okay, so low, Prince Andrew, like, get out of here. Mm-hmm. Low is the Philip's divorce, I would say. Yeah, I don't know. What's your low?
My low is the initial coverage of it.
Yeah.
Because I don't appreciate coverage that is just automatically negative about a woman when I feel like it's not really rooted in fact.
No. How about your high?
My high. So I have two highs.
Please.
First of all, a high is that Meghan and Harry reportedly got dinner with Jennifer Lopez and Alex Rodriguez in Miami. And I was like, this is awesome. I wish I saw pictures from it. Obviously, I did not see pictures, but like those are the pictures I would like. And it's so amazing because obviously J-Lo is just having an incredible year. And I can't even imagine being in the same room as her. Like the conversations, just talking to her about what she did at the Super Bowl. Like, oh, how, oh my God.
What a time.
I'm just like.
We're in J-Lo season.
Yeah, we are. I love it. And I want to continue. And then my second high, so Caitlin and I obviously host the show, but outside of the show, we are writers. And Caitlin last week just got an incredible honor, and I am just bursting with pride. And I feel like I got the honor because I love her so much. Well, so I'm just feeling so happy. So Caitlin did this really remarkable project with a team of other people for Cosmopolitan where they did this guide. It's like how to go to rehab. And it covers everything from how to find the right therapist, the right rehab program, to how to afford it. And it's really, really timely and important given what's going on with the opioid crisis. And so she got nominated for a National Magazine Award, which I refer to as the ASMEs, and that's mm-hmm. like what it's known as in the industry, or the Ellies. And I just think that's so incredible,
thank
and I'm
you.
So proud of you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, it's really great. I'm very, very happy. And it's a story that I was really proud of, so it's a very good time. Thank you so much, Lisa. Mm-hmm. my high is almost as good as this career high point that I'm going through, but it was James Middleton. Related. So of course it's wonderful.
So a real high.
A real high. So he posted himself biking over a bridge with his famous basket just full of dogs, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 dogs. And he said, "We're back. After a detox of all things social media, me, Ella, and co, and our beloved biker back. It's been over a year now since writing publicly about my experiences with clinical depression and how my dogs played a vital role in my recovery. This year, I want to focus on highlighting how amazing dogs really are, not just from a pet perspective, but how your physical and mental health can benefit too." I mean, James Middleton announcing he's going to focus more on dogs. Like, just, how could anything be better? I just, what an absolute delay. I mean, my other high was, yes, getting like Beatrice wedding details. I'm really excited about that. I loved Kate's coat choice today, but James Middleton with just grinning ear to ear with a basket full of puppies.
If he's going to focus on dogs, I'm ready for it.
I'm so ready for that.
Like, what was he doing before that?
That's the thing. Like, what has changed? But whatever. I am. And again, as always, we'll take this opportunity to suggest, if you haven't, to read his essay about his own mental health. And it's just, it's really good stuff. And yeah. I don't know. Again, Valentine's Day can be really tough. So if you're struggling with your mental health right now, you know, read the essay, talk to people, talk to a therapist, talk to everyone in your life because it's a major help. We're just so lucky to have James Middleton.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sending all the Valentines to him.
And therapists.
And to therapists and to you and supportive people. You can drop us an email at info@gallerypodcast.com to ask us any and all questions about the Royals. Remember to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Here's a real review. Would you like to read this one?
And it's a 5-star one. We're back to the 5 stars.
Just saying.
It says, "I just so happened to stumble upon this podcast and I've been obsessed ever since. Caitlin, sorry if I spelled that wrong."
No, you spelled it right.
Spelled it right. But it's hard. I've seen it spelled so many
ways. Okay, my own aunts and uncles.
And Lisa have me in stitches every time they talk about the Royals. Their lighthearted, hilarious commentary makes my driving trip so much better. That's nice.
It's nice to hear. You can follow this show on Instagram at Royally Obsessed Podcast and join our Facebook group, Royally Obsessed. You can follow me, Caitlin, at HeyKMenz, HeyKMenz, on Twitter and Instagram, or read my writing at CaitlinMenza.com.
And you can read her award-nominated package at Cosmo.com/whatever it is.
Yeah, if you search
how to go to rehab.
If you search how to go to rehab and Cosmo, you will find it. Thank you, Lisa.
And you can follow me, Lisa, at Lisa Raya on Twitter and Instagram. And my writing is at lisaraya.com. No N.
Sure is. And until next week, happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
And God save the pod.
You're my Valentine.
You're my Valentine. I want some candy.
Her Majesties of Royally Obsessed have retired for this episode. God save the pod. And if you fancy the podcast, give Royally Obsessed the royal rating of 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at Royally Obsessed Podcast and join our Facebook group, Royally Obsessed. Royally Obsessed is a Gallery Podcast production.